Father God, we just want to thank you. We thank you so much that we can witness the good work that you've been doing, not only in Hong Kong, but in Uzbekistan and all over the world. Lord, what a privilege to be a part of that. What a privilege to be able to witness you at work. Lord, we just also, I just want to pray for this sermon, Lord. I pray that you'll just minister to us. You'll speak through me. Humble me, Lord, as your servant, that I'll be able to speak your words. Let it not be mine, but let it be your words of eternal life. Lord, open up our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn to the book of Jonah. Pastor Sam asked me last night to share, and I was... So he asked me to share a message, and he shared like, share your best message, and this Jonah is my favorite, probably my favorite story in the Bible, because I don't really know that many stories in the Bible, and when I went over to Uzbekistan, they asked me to preach every Sunday for the youth, and they asked me to preach for the early morning prayer, and I'm like, oh no, I don't know I was a Sunday school teacher, and they have a curriculum. I read out of the curriculum, and that's all I knew. And then they asked me to preach. So I preached a series on Jonah three times while I was in Uzbekistan. And it's not because I love the story, but it's also because it was the only story I knew. And I was a Sunday school teacher, so we had like flannel graphs and pictures, and I was used to that. And so it was just, I preached it like for the early morning prayer. I did a whole series on Jonah. For Sunday service, I did a whole series on Jonah. For Sunday school, I preached on Jonah. So there are a lot of reasons why I'm preaching this message, but I know that God will speak to each one of us today through it. So let's turn to Jonah. I'm sure most of you know, or if you've been around church long enough, you've heard, you probably would have heard of the story. Even if you haven't been to church, there are lots of cartoons, VeggieTales and please don't get confused. Don't confuse Jonah with Pinocchio. It's different, right? Okay. So Jonah, he was a prophet. He was a prophet, and God had told him to go to another city called Nineveh to tell this city that they were sinning, and to God told Jonah to preach and tell them to repent. And let's turn to chapter 1. Okay? Chapter 1, verse 1-3. I want to go through just generally the story of Jonah, just to let you know. Okay? Verse 1-3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So he went down to Joppa, found a ship which was going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went down into it to go with him to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah was a prophet, and a prophet's job is to go and preach the word of God. When God tells you to do something, and God spoke directly to the people back then, so if he spoke to the prophet back then, you're supposed to go and tell and just obey and just do your job. But Jonah, it says here that he rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went to another city called Tarshish. He basically where he was running the opposite direction. He was totally running away from God, even though God had told him to go and preach and tell Nineveh of their sins. Right, and so Jonah had disobeyed God, and he literally ran away to the opposite direction. And then if you just to let you know the story, as he ran away, he went on a boat. He tried to get as far away from God as possible, as far away from where he was as possible, because he thought he could outrun God. He thought that if he, if he took this boat, then he could somehow just avoid what God was telling him to do. And, he took this boat, and then God sent a wind, he sent a storm, and basically he went overboard, and he got swallowed by a big, big fish. And when he got swallowed by the fish, that was when he really realized, oh, I disobeyed God. Oh, I really didn't please God. And if you look, let's go to chapter 2. Chapter 2, it says, verse 1, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish. And then I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. This is just Jonah's prayer. He continues to pray, and like, finally when he's in the stomach of the fish, he repents before God. You know, how long does it take for you to repent before God? You know, for Jonah, it took for him to be inside the stomach of a fish. You know, if I'm swallowed by an animal, I'm not gonna wait to cry out to God, right? I'm not gonna wait to the very last minute. As soon as I'm swallowed by this fish, I would probably be crying out and just like, God help me, I'll be crying out to him. Right? I'm sure as soon as Jonah was swallowed by this fish, you know, he's like, okay, I'm really gonna die. God help me. God save me. You know, the stomach acid is like, you know, I'm sure inside this fish was really eating him up, and he was getting desperate. This is called a desperate prayer. And if you, I won't read, you know, the chapter, but, you know, Jonah was really desperate. He was crying out to the Lord for help. And then in chapter 3, let's go to chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. Let's go to verse 10 of chapter 2. It says, then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. When Jonah repented, you know, he was like really sorry, and he recognized that, you know, what he had done. You know, God saved him, and he commanded the fish, and, you know, basically the fish vomited Jonah onto the dry land. Right? And God saved him through this fish. But the interesting thing about verse 10, I mean, this has nothing to do with my sermon, really, but I was just curious to know, maybe I'll ask Pastor Sam, I just want to know how the fish would be able to vomit Jonah up onto the dry land. I would think, you know, maybe the fish had to like hop onto the dry land and like spit it out, or I don't know. I just want to know. Just interesting. But anyway, so let's go to chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. And so, you know, Jonah was saved, and let's read from 1 to 5. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I'm going to tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. Can you believe, you know, just because this, you know, this servant, this prophet, who was so reluctant to go in the first place, all he did was, you know, finally, you know, through this, you know, through the whole fish ordeal, he finally goes and he obeys God, and he, you know, he preaches the word. He preaches the word of God, and the whole city, it says, from the greatest to the least, they all start to believe in God, and they, you know, fasted and they repented, and you know, the whole city became transformed through this one reluctant servant, through this one man who was so weak, who was a coward, who was so disobedient, but finally, because he obeyed, he was able to be a part of this, you know, amazing miracle to see a whole city, you know, become saved. You know, I prayed in Uzbekistan for a year. I was like, okay, God, I want to see all the kids. I'm going to pray, God, you better save all the kids. 70 kids? Okay, by the end of my year, they're all going to be passionate. They're going to be, you know, they're going to all give up their lives for the ministry. You know, I prayed that. Okay, you know, that did not happen, right? And I was like, God, I was so discouraged. Oh, but then we see stories like this, and you know, I mean, this is not just a story in the Bible. This thing happens all the time. I mean, it happens all throughout church history. I don't know much about church history, but what Pastor Sam tells me, it happened like so many times throughout, you know, the history, right? And so, you know, there's so many stories like that in the Bible as well. And this is just another account of what God can do. Yes, you know, revivals do happen. Yes, a whole city can be saved. Yes, when we pray for Hong Kong, things can happen. When we pray, it matters. Something, there is a, you know, there will be a transformation. There will be transformation through our prayers. You know, it counts. You know, I hope that we, you know, I still, you know, ask God for faith. Please, God, you know, I look at Hong Kong and, you know, it looks the same natural, but I believe because, you know, there are people rising up all over Hong Kong and we're praying for nations, we're praying for the people here, we're praying for like our leaders. I believe that it will make a difference. And, you know, and that's something only God can, you know, give us faith. That's something, a vision that only God can give us. And I know, you know, I hear that there are intercessory groups, you know, all over. Like there, like people are praying in the offices, people are praying all over the town, and it's just amazing. And you know, I think it's really encouraging for us just to read stories like this. It's not just a story, you know, that we read, like a Sunday school story. And I confess, I thought it was just a Sunday school story before. I confess, I just thought of it as a really nice story to preach to the kids because it's really easy and really fun, you know. Like Jonah, he gets swallowed by a fish and then, you know, like, I don't know, he spits it out. And then, yeah, it's just really cool and it's just really easy to preach as well. But my goodness, there's so much behind this story. There's so much that God wants to, you know, teach us and just really want to encourage us through the story. Let's go to chapter 4. So the whole nation, like the whole city was saved. And then, you know, Jonah, he was not very happy. Jonah was not very happy with what had happened. It was so strange. Let's read from verse 1 to 3. But it greatly displeased Jonah, and he became angry, and he prayed to the Lord and said, "Please, Lord, was not this what I said while I was still in my own country? Therefore, in order to forestall this, I fled to Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and one who relents concerning calamity. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life." Okay, isn't this really, I mean, if you look at this really carefully, it's so strange. You know, Jonah, okay, you know, he preached and 120,000 people got saved. And then as soon, you know, they got saved and they repented and amazing things are happening. And then what does he do? What does he say? The first prayer that he says to God is, "God, you know, how could you do this? I knew that if I did this, if I go to Nineveh, you're going to do something. I knew that if I go to this, you know, evil city and if I tell them about you and I told them, your good news, then they're all going to repent." And I'm like, I was reading this and I'm like, I don't understand. What's wrong with Jonah? You know, and then verse 3, okay, this really, I mean, I think Jonah, this guy has issues because he says, "Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for death is better to me than life." My goodness. Like, okay, you know, people have like psychological problems or whatever, and I guess, you know, people, you know, but I call Jonah, like just reading this, you know, this chapter, I'm like, I call him Mr. Suicidal because, you know, he just wants to, I don't know, he sees a nation saved and, you know, naturally you would think, oh yeah, praise God, you know, yeah, you know, God used me. But because he was so concerned about his own issues, because, you know, Nineveh was actually like the enemy of the Jews. You know, they were really evil, and he just didn't want them. He didn't want them to be blessed, right? So, as you know, and he preached, he obeyed reluctantly, and he preached, and God still used him. But then he was not happy at all about the result. He was not happy at all about what happened. You know, I think that happens to us a lot of times. You know, I've been going to church like most of my life. Yeah, I can obey. I can look the part. I can just, you know, I'll serve. I'll like, you know, I always try to be a teacher's pet. So I'll just try and like, you know, do everything. And, you know, and I obey. But, you know, like, is that what God is pleased with? Yeah, sure. Obedience. My goodness, that's so important. But God looks at the heart. You know, we can be cleaning, vacuuming, or we could be, you know, leading a Bible study. We can be preaching. We could be doing all these things, or in the worship team. But if we, you know, God looks at our heart and all that we do. And if I'm just doing it just because, you know, it's the right thing to do, or, yeah, you know, or because I feel obliged to, and many times I felt that, you know, then I don't know if that is really, you know, worshiping. I don't know if that is really you know, pleasing to Him. And God taught me so many lessons on that while I was alone away in Uzbekistan. Because, yeah, I was not a happy camper while I was there, because it was just so hard. Like, you know, I'd try, but then, you know, kids wouldn't listen to me, and so it was just really hard. So, like, you know, this prayer there, what Jonah would say, therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me. I've prayed that. I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, kill me now. So I was, you know, Jonah was such an immature, but I was like that. I was like that. And I look at Jonah's life and this story, and I realize, yeah, I'm no better. I used to look down on him when I was reading this, but then I realized, wow, I'm worse. I'm the same. I haven't matured at all. Ooh, I'm a missionary. I preach. I'm like, you know, like leading these Bible studies. Wow, and people think I'm so holy or something. Like, I've come back to Hong Kong, and seriously, like all the adults, the Korean side, they all come to me, they're like bowing down to me, 성교사님, and all this stuff, which means missionary Annie. And I went to another church. I went to another church today, this morning, to preach to a youth group. Yeah, and they're like, oh, 성교사님. I'm like, oh my gosh, please don't call me that, because I'm still the same. I know where my heart is. I know I'm still so reluctant. I'm still so bitter. I'm still so, oh, I'm still the same. And, you know, and people give me these titles. Why do Koreans like these titles so much? And I just feel so pressured, right? But then, you know, like, God, I'm just, you know, just reading the story and just sharing right now, I recognize, yeah, I really need to keep, you know, checking my heart, you know. I need to make sure that I'm not just playing a role. I need to make sure that I'm not playing church. I need to make sure I'm not just so comfortable being a Christian, because it's so easy to do that. You know, we grew up in church. It's so easy to just, like, look the part. I'm a professional in doing that. I've done that my whole life. And it's so easy for me to go back to that role. Just to, you know, like, regardless of, you know, the way I truly am, I just, you know, I just, you know, try to put, you know, put masks on. Yeah. And so, yeah. And so this story, Jonah, it just continues on. Okay, I'll finish up soon. But let's go to verse 5, from verse 5. Then Jonah went out from the city and sat east of it. Jonah went, like, so, he, you know, he's like really angry at God, and he goes outside the city. Then he made a shelter for himself and sat under it in the shade until he could see what would happen in the city. So he doesn't even want to be in the city. He just wants, he's like outside, he's like observing what's happening. He's like sulking before God. So the Lord God appointed a plant, and it grew up over Jonah to be a shade over his head to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. So if you can imagine, he's like sitting out there. Okay, you know, it's a desert. It's really hot. So, and then, you know, like God brings this plant. And it grew. Okay, I don't know. It grew miraculously. And then, it grew. And then it says that the plant, the leaf, yeah, it became a shade. So you can imagine, the sun is really hot. It's like desert. Like Uzbekistan was really hot, 50 degrees Celsius, if you can believe that. So, you know, it's like really hot, and the sun is like, oh, it's killing Jonah. And, you know, you can imagine there's this plant, and God's like, okay, you know, my silly little prophet, you know, that I've appointed, but, you know, God's still so merciful, and he's still so kind to his son, that he, you know, he wants to provide a shade for him. So, like, he's out there sulking, and then God brings a little plant shade leaf to shade him. And so it says Jonah was extremely happy about the plant, right? But then in verse 7, God appointed a worm that when dawn came the next day and attacked the plant, and it withered. Okay, this is some action here. God appointed the worm, and it came and attacked the plant, okay? And then it died. And basically, you know, his comfort, his leaf, his shade was gone, right? So, and then what happened in verse 8? And came about when the sun came up that God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all his soul to die, saying, okay, this is again Jonah, death is better to me than life. Just imagine the scene. He's out there. Shade. Oh, I'm so happy, God. Oh, kill me. I'm so happy. Kill me. This is Jonah. Okay? This is Jonah. I look at this and I'm like, oh my goodness, what's wrong with this man? He's crazy. You know, how can he be like want to commit suicide just because, you know, he doesn't have his shade, which God gave to him anyway, right? But then as soon as it's taken away, he's like, death is better to me than life. And I just want to challenge each one of us today. And I want to ask you, you know, how many comforts do we have in life? Like, you know, we have a shade which God gave us anyway. I mean, it could be our finances. It could be, you know, maybe our, you know, family, our education, the comforts, your job. You know, all these things that God has placed in you. God has given to you. God has poured in you, right? Provided for you. And then as soon as something bad happens, we're like, God, where were you? God, what happened? Huh? I thought I was doing, I was being faithful. As soon as something goes wrong, we just rebuke God in that way. And we complain. I'm like this. I was like this, so, like all year. I was like this, you know, like whenever something bad happened, I'd be like, oh God, you know, where have you been? Where are you, you know, what are you doing to me? I came here to serve you. I'm a missionary, you know, I'm like, you know, godly and holy. I'm supposed to have all your blessings. God, you're supposed to do these things for me. You're supposed to bless me. You know, you better bless me, God. But then, you know, the kids don't listen to me. You know, things don't happen the way I want it. And then I start complaining to God. And I start blaming God. And I start blaming, you know, God about the situation. And I'm just like Jonah. I'm no different to Jonah. Because I'm like, death is better to me than life. You know, I'm just a brat before God. I'm so immature before God. Okay? And just because what comfort or what stability or what, you know, security that I had, right, which was given to me by God anyway, was, you know, I felt like it was taken away. But it was never taken away. It was never, ever taken away. You know, maybe some of you, I don't know, maybe you guys have something, you know, something tough is going on, or, you know, there, you know, maybe some, a lot of uncertainties. You know, have you ever really felt like, you know, complain before him, or just really felt like, you know, what's going on, or just really not trust that God is in control? Right? Someone who's mature will, you know, keep worshiping God anyway. Someone who is immature will start complaining, like this guy and like me. Right? You know, if you go to Acts 16, there's this, you know, the story of Paul and Silas, and, you know, they were beaten up because they, you know, they believed in Jesus. They were beaten up and they were mocked, and, you know, they were stripped down and they were, to, you know, bound in chains. And, you know, you would think, oh, if I was in their position, I would be very mad. You know, I'm serving God. I'm preaching the gospel. You know, why am I being just tortured in this way? Why am I being persecuted in this way? But then what did they do? Around midnight, they start singing praises and they start giving thanks to God. I'm like, why? I mean, how? How could they do that? What kind of a faith do they have? What's so different about the faith that Paul had compared to me? Jesus is the same. He knew the same Jesus. I met Jesus in the same way. But what was so different, right? It's because he didn't trust in his circumstances. He didn't trust in, you know, what the security of this world. He only trusted in what God provided. And he only trusted that, you know, that God was in control. And I want to challenge each one of us today. You know, will you truly, truly trust God? Will you truly trust that he is in control? It doesn't matter what the, you know, market is like. It doesn't matter, you know, whether you're single or married, or, you know, it doesn't matter if, you know, like, what's going on in this world. We still trust that God is in control and just continue to just dwell in his presence. I'll just share one story. In Uzbekistan, you know, there are a lot of, like, crazy people, like, as in mentally handicapped people. So they were, like, they come to church, and I see them like every week, and I, you know, actually I'm very judgmental, and I thought I was really loving, but I'm not very loving at all, because I'd be seeing them, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, they're like taking up so much space, and Okay, sorry. This is not very missionary-like of me, but so you know, like, and the, you know, because people are very poor, you know, they don't shower, and a lot of them are alcoholics. So I really don't like sitting near them, and you know, actually, a lot of them steal as well, and a lot of crazy things going on in Uzbekistan in that church, right? And so, like, you know, I would not be very happy to see them, right? And then. And, you know, but then, like, as I was preaching this message, my many times that I preach this message, you know, I realized something about them, right? Even though, like, in my eyes, I didn't want to be near them, but I felt like, wow, God really loves these people. Because, you know, regardless of what's going on, I mean, regardless of the fact that, you know, they have no money, you know, they're just, yeah, they can't trust in anything in the world. There's no welfare in Uzbekistan. Right, like they're living off scraps. Like they take off our garbage from the church, and so but you know, every Sunday they would be sitting in the very front and they're like clapping away, off beat, off tune, but they're just like worshiping God and they're just like praising God with all of their hearts and they're lifting up their hands and they're doing and they're just and I just looked at them and I'm like, my gosh! And this is like every day, every Sunday they'd be like this. No change. And yeah, sure, you know, maybe they're sick or, you know, but my gosh, God must be so pleased with them because it didn't matter what was going on. They still connected with God. They still loved God. They still praised God. It didn't matter the circumstances. They worshiped God anyway. And that was a lesson to me. You know, am I able to do that? Am I able to worship God like that? You know, I'm like, if I don't feel like clapping, or if I don't feel like lifting up my hands, or if I don't feel like, you know, waking up early for early morning prayer, then I won't, right? But then these people, you know, they're faithful. They just go. And I feel like God wants that kind of, you know, He's so pleased with that kind of person. He's so pleased with a heart like that, a heart that just loves to praise Him, a heart that would just continue to praise Him regardless of what's going on. Let's close our eyes. Are you someone who is totally in love with God? Right? Are you someone who doesn't care what other people think? You know, maybe there's frustrations or maybe there's uncertainties. Can you still lift up your hands to God? You know, we lift up our hands because we're just saying to God, yes, I need you. Can you bow down on your knees? Not because we're so spiritual, but because we're so desperate for Him. Is Solomon's Porch a church that is desperate for God? Your soul is so desperate for Him. Your spirit just longs for Him. But your body is not following. Why? Is it because we're embarrassed? Is it because, you know, there's so much going on. I'm too tired. I had a bad week at work. Father God, we just come to You right now. And Father, we confess that You've given us so much already. And we're so sorry if we've complained. We're so sorry if we haven't trusted in You. Your word tells us that You never change and You're always faithful, even when we're so faithless. Many of us sometimes think that You've given us nothing. Many of us feel like, oh, you know, we've had like a lot of bad things happen. But Lord, it doesn't matter right now. You know, you give us so many chances and You're so patient and You're so good and You're so kind, even with our schedules, even with our addictions, even with our failures. So we just want to worship You and bless Your name. And praise You because of who You are. God, we thank You that You love us to death. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Why don't we stand? Annie, that was great. I found my replacement. I'm going to have the worship team come up and... We just sing a song together. Let's pray for each other. You know, the interesting thing about Noah or Jonah, Jonah was the greatest revivalist in church history. Did you know that? By far the greatest revivalist in church history. He spoke 7 words and 120,000 people got saved. Think about that, man. That is incredible, right? God does some incredible stuff. And so let's just sing together. And why don't you grab someone's hand next to you? Such an inspiring message. Why don't we spend a little time as the worship team just leads us a little bit. And why don't you pray for your friend or on the left and right of you. Let's just really pray for an undivided heart before God. Maybe God is challenging you with some of the things that some of the guys said or Annie said or someone else said here today. And just allow the Lord to really let that sink deep within you and respond to God in some way. All right, so let's just pray for each other. Let's ask God to really fill us with His presence and that we would just go for it in Him. Or we wouldn't hold anything back. We just give ourselves to God. All right, let's pray for each other. Sing together, Lord. Father, we thank you so much, God. Oh, we thank you for, God, your desire for each of us to be surrendered to you. Oh, we thank you for the incredible freedom, God, that we get to experience, true freedom, God, when we surrender ourselves. And God, and there's many of us like myself, God, that we've gone through life and we feel like, Lord, I've already surrendered. But then you take us deeper, God, and we begin to realize, Lord, there's so much more to lay down before you. And so we ask for the strength, God. We ask for the will. And we ask for just the courage, God, to really, Lord, live a life, Lord, that's about you. That's not about us. And so watch over us, God. Bless this church, God. We thank you for the team coming back safely to Hong Kong. Pray that you'd continue to adjust us, God. And I know some of us are still going through sickness, Lord, especially through our stomachs. And we ask you to heal us, God, and bless us, Lord. Watch over us, God. Lord, we pray that this week, Lord, as a church and individually, that in some way, God, that we would bring incredible glory to your Son, Jesus. God, this is what we live for, God. This is why we breathe. And so help us, God. We thank you so much, Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord will cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace from this day forever. Amen. Man, want you to hug someone next to you? God bless you. Have a great week this week. If you want to sign up for Growing in Christ, come see me. And Saturday we have the conference at the DTS YWAM base. Have a great week this week.